Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Damn, Skippy, we start now, and a very hearty bleep to D&M Auto Leasing for bringing you another crosstalk with the fellas of Painted Pendergast, Sean and Seth. All right, let's get going on a Tuesday here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610 with the OG back almost in his seat.
Almost in my seat, Sean.
Soon. Eventually. That will also induce some cuss words at some point.
You know, you get into relationships where you just sort of realize, like, this is just how it's going to be.
That's right.
And so someday I'll be a better teammate.
Don't worry about it. I wouldn't.
I don't mind.
All right. How are you doing? You miss anything?
I'm glad I wasn't here yesterday.
I told you you didn't like Figgy. Didn't I say you don't like basketball?
Yeah.
I said it. He was like, I don't want to hear to talk about
this. We did
all
a full basketball show in honor of John Lopez.
I don't
want to
talk
basketball.
About this huge, like, you know, this ceiling raising move that Rafael Stone pulled off on the Rocket. I don't care about
Allow
it.
Me to explain. You know how much I love basketball. But
allegedly.
I'm glad I wasn't here yesterday because my first reaction to the trade would have been wrong. I feel like my first reaction, had I come in guns a-blazing yesterday, I would have been wrong. So I realized that as I was driving home yesterday afternoon from the event I had to do in Corpus Christi, although I might have snuck in a little fishing in there somewhere, but that's all right.
I mean, it was a day off. Everybody gonna be mad at you.
You know, just a couple hours in the morning. It doesn't hurt anybody. So my first reaction was kind of something we talked about in the days and weeks leading up to the potential trade. I was like, oh, this is, you know, Ime Udoka got a new contract or extension or whatever. He's got all the power now. He's going to be able to wield that that power however he wants. I thought this was an Ime Udoka production start to finish. Now, to be sure, you know, he had a big voice in this, you know, obviously a big impact start to finish. But the more I thought about it, I actually, and Sean brought this up when we were talking before the show, I actually kind of thought of Nick Caserio. Like, this was Rafael Stone sort of holding the line. Like, I think he deserves probably a little more credit than I would have given him yesterday. You know what I mean? Because this was him knowing what was happening in the background, knowing that he had that the price was going to go down, very similar to the Deshaun Watson thing. The price was going to go up the longer he, you know, he waited, and Deshaun was, you know, doing his nonsense with the scout team, et cetera. I think Rafael Stone deserves a little more credit. And Brian Windhorst kind of alluded to that. I'm sure you played the audio already, but I think this was more a collaborative affair with really a lot of credit going to Rafael Stone.
Yeah, I'll take the fine. I don't have cash on me, but I'll do it later. It's one of the things that I will actually give Jerry Jones credit for on being like right about. He frequently is known to say, and sometimes he'll use it as a crutch, that deadlines make deals.
Yeah.
Right. Once you get to a deadline, you apply a level of pressure. You add a different, you know, kind of motivating factor to the negotiations to get something done. And that is something that was clear. The trade, or rather the NBA draft that is coming up tomorrow night added pressure to the Phoenix Suns in particular, who want to be able to select a player in this draft, who want to start pushing themselves forward and wanted to get themselves a level of freedom when it came to Kevin Durant, who is a player who is, you know, is going to be, or I guess as of right now, is an expiring contract, right? They wanted to have a move on from that situation. And as this thing continued to tick closer and as other teams, including the Rockets with Rafael Stone, stood pat in not wanting to give up their young, talented players, because that wasn't just the Rockets. Obviously, the Rockets did not give up Jabari Smith or Tari Eason. I think it was the Miami Heat who Kal-El Ware, a very talented young center, they didn't want to move off of him. Not even necessarily young, but I know the Toronto Raptors, there was talk for because the Suns need a big. Yeah. They were like, give us Jakob Poeltl. And the Toronto Raptors were like, no, sir.
Yeah.
Then everybody was holding steady kind of all the way around. And Rafael Stone, obviously in doing that himself as well, ended up with a deal that could only be described as a steal.
Yeah.
I think that I don't think there's another way of putting it. The way that you were able to get for, at this point, maybe like you could say two role players, maybe a nice young talented player who can possibly become something more, a first round pick and a whole bunch of change, which is what second round picks are at this point.
Yeah.
You end up getting a guy who really changes the outlook of what your team does, just generally when we talk about offense, but also in another way, which is a star, a superstar, a player of that caliber also helps unlock other things with other players.
Oh, big
and I'm
time.
I'm
big
looking
time.
Forward to what those things are with Kevin Durant with this team.
Yeah, and I go back to remember when Raphael Stone said it has to be a very high bar in terms of making a deal. He meant low bar. He meant it had to be a low bar. It had to be something that I could wait out, get this deal, make it a steal, as you talked about, wait other people out, wait for the deadline to be fast approaching, and make the deal. This was, I feel like, and not just because it's Kevin Durant, and we can argue, and I'm sure you already have, about, you know, how long is how open is the window going to be with him here, et cetera, et cetera. Forget that. In the here and now, this is how I would describe the deal in terms of what you're talking about, immediate impact. If Kevin Durant was on this team instead of Jalen Green last year, how far would they have gone in the playoffs?
That's a very interesting question.
No, the answer is we know how far. They would have gone a long, long way, if not all the way.
Or at least further than what they did this past playoffs.
They would have gone further than what they did because I think as much as Jalen Green gave you a lever of like some effort on defense, I think you get that from Kevin Durant and you get an opportunity to knock down shots late in games. And if I go back to that series in particular, there were some games that were gettable if you could just get a little bit more offense, which Kevin Durant undoubtedly gives you. He gives you more than the, you know, single digits and maybe tapping into the double digits that Jalen Green gave you clearly.
Let's say Dylan Brooks wasn't playing for whatever reason, slight injury, whatever. And you just put in Kevin Durant instead of Jalen Green. At minimum, you would have been facing Oklahoma City in the conference finals. At minimum.
I'm not certain of that.
I do
like the way that, because the Warriors went on to play. Was it Minnesota that they played? Yeah. And then Minnesota knocked them out. I like the way that Minnesota, like, they have a lot of size.
I think you'd have beaten Minnesota.
I can get you. I can understand how you get to that place. I'm not entirely sold on it, but I think you have an opportunity to compete with them, which, again, gives you a solid chance. I probably put it, 40%, 45% chance of beating Minnesota, which is still much better than where you were, because I don't think that you matched up all that well with Minnesota at all.
Yeah, but I think that would have been the equalizer, if not put you over the top. So that's how I would describe the deal. Was it a good deal? Put him there this past season, and what would you have had? I think the answer is pretty obvious. When we can parse out, you know, just how obvious it was, how much better it was. And then the other part of it is, as I just mentioned, you know, if Ime Udoka did this deal by himself without Raphael Stone, they would have paid a lot more because I think he wanted him that bad. And so that's why I'm really got to give Raphael Stone some credit for waiting it out and getting the right deal, working the channels, knowing that what Kevin Durant was doing. And then all of a sudden you've got a deal without. And I don't want to say, like, it's an absolute steal, but it looks like a steal to me because we don't know what Jalen Green's going to be. I mean, it could have been a one-off, you know, in the postseason. This is past. He was pretty damn good over the course of the season. But still, if you just replace those two guys, I think you're at minimum you're against Oklahoma City in the conference final.
Well, I want to speak to that Jalen Green portion of this because I am still in the idea that there's still positive growth in his future.
Yeah.
I 100% believe that. Yeah. What is the actual ceiling on that positive growth? Unless the ceiling of that positive growth is all NBA type guy consistently, I think it's still a steal.
Yeah. I'm leaning there too, of course.
And I'm not certain that he has like first team all NBA written on him, even if he becomes like a third team all NBA type guy, which is where I'm feeling more that he is, which is still a very good player in this league. Do not get me wrong. But yeah, I think that you can leave that at that point. I want to come back to what you're talking about and the praise that we want to give to Raphael Stone. I think we also just got to give that praise to the Rockets organization as a whole, because what you've laid out, I think you're right in that regard. And it speaks to the proper distribution of responsibilities and roles to get you to this place.
Yeah.
The idea that Ime absolutely wanted KD, his relationship with KD is a huge reason why KD has the Rockets on his list of desirable locations to land at. That is, you know, the way that they're going to work out. I think he also, for anybody that has some concerns about like what the ego, for lack of a better term, or what KD brings into a locker room, I think you look no further than Ime Udoka establishes the tone, and I imagine KD falls in very nicely with that, even if you have those concerns, which I don't to begin with, to be honest. But then on the other side, the organization takes that and finds a way to get the deal done properly, and they work it out very well together, including, right, like adding DJ Augustin, and then obviously Royale Ivy being on the staff kind of pointed in some ways to the idea of KD coming here. Like, it just feels like as an organization, the I'm going to find the right price for the guy that fits what my coach wants to do.
Yeah.
It works out really well, which, again, we've seen on the Texan side. That particular synergy that happens with D'Amico Ryans, these are the things that I'm trying to accomplish. Nick Caserio, go get me the right things for it. And you ultimately end up in a place where you're putting together a good football team in the case of the Texans. And with the Rockets, you end up with a situation where now it's all on execution, because it's not like you don't have the roster capable to get something done.
And that's why I'm glad you brought that up, because that's why I'm comparing it to what Nick Caserio did with Deshaun Watson. He turned having absolutely no leverage into leverage. You know, like when the Deshaun Watson thing happened, oh, they got to trade Deshaun Watson. You know, what kind of a bag of peanuts are they going to trade him for?
Yeah.
No, he turned having no leverage at all into leverage, and we know what happened since then. Raphael Stone, and I think it's him more than Udoka, because I think Udoka would have been a little quicker to the trigger on this deal. Raphael Stone turning not having leverage, in terms of at least the narratives. You know, hey, they got these coaches, that are coming in. Hey, he has got a great relationship with Udoka. Boy, the Rockets really want, Kevin Durant. That's not leverage. That's from a Suns perspective, that's like, oh, okay, let's see what we can get out of the Rockets, rubbing your hands together. He turned not having leverage into leverage. That deserves a lot of credit.
Well, I think that you start with the way that he tempered it and starting out, right?
The high bar, all that stuff.
But also, like, as much as I give him credit, I think also the credit is feeling the market out, right? In the same way as Nick Caserio, there was a whole, you looked up and you saw the teams that were salivating at the opportunity of getting a dude of a particular talent, even with the things that Deshaun Watson had on him, right? Like all the massage circumstances and things. In not the same way. I feel like that's an unfair thing to put out there, but maybe in a somewhat similar fashion.
Well, you can draw the parallel of, the leverage.
You look around and you see the various teams that are intrigued and interested in the idea of acquiring KD, and I think you can, all these GMs talk. They all are on the phone conversing with various people around the league. There's not much that's hidden from one general manager and one front office to another, and I think that it would have taken, obviously, a good general manager, but I think just any general manager looking around and going, who am I bidding against? Mm-hmm. And knowing, I think the credit is knowing not to bid against yourself.
Exactly.
Because nobody else is bidding against you at that moment. Mm-hmm. And you end up winning without giving, you didn't give up your future and you didn't give up your presence. Mm-hmm. And I just find that to be, we talked about it yesterday, I find that to be incredible. And now the question is, what do you do going forward? Are they done? And I want to ask you from your perspective, since you didn't have the opportunity to talk about it, like myself and Luke did yesterday, do you see this as a situation where, boom, you drop KD in and let's go and do it? Or do you still see something that you need to do? That's something that we'll have a conversation about as we continue on with the show. But just immediately, what's your thought there?
My immediate thought is, yes, you place him in there and you're a much better team. I mean, it's not even close. Because I'll go back to the reference I had earlier about if you put him on this team last year, you know what you would have gotten. I don't think it's without some question marks and some adjustments, which, as you mentioned, we'll get into in a little bit. I think there are a few things that they just can't assume are going to happen now that KD's here. But long story short, they got a lot better overnight.
So KD, expiring deal, I know that there's conversation about he's open to, or he is eligible for an extension that would, you probably do a 2-year for 120 mil, which would put him at 60 million a year. And I know that the cost is something that scares some people off. So the reporting has been yesterday that he would be willing to take less than that, understanding, the ramifications, salary cap, so on and so forth. Yeah. We're not going to dig too deep into that. How do you feel about KD at maybe a 50 or maybe a 45 annual number? And secondarily, Would you have a problem if this ends up just being a rental and you don't sign an extension for Kevin Durant? You have him for this upcoming season, considering what you
gave up? I don't expect that to happen, but I wouldn't have a problem with it. You mentioned it. I mean, they didn't sacrifice their future. They're going to have a run. They have a window now. They're the second odds-on favorite to win the championship right now behind Oklahoma City. I've always said it. If you have a chance to win a championship, do everything you can to win a championship, period. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think he's going to come in at an extension. Probably, like you said, right? 45, 50 million?
I mean, if I'm to take the idea that, he'd be willing to do a little something, give a little something back to make sure that it works, that would be the logical place that I jump to, is just, shaving off a little off the top that helps you kind of navigate the salary cap ramifications. and getting yourself to a place where even if you sign that extension, and this is the thing that gives me a level of comfort, and it gave me a level of comfort before the deal was made. Even if you sign him into an extension, I don't think you put it at a place where it goes beyond where Amen Thompson gets his I think, max extension that you're ultimately going to get. And yes, 832, KD did say he wanted to finish his career here, so I think that that gives you more leverage. But I was just talking, even the worst case scenario, now that the deal is done, as it's currently situated, could you get away with a situation of not extending him? It feels very, very clear that you likely would.
Yeah. Would you?
I think I would extend him.
Yeah.
But I'm like, even in the worst case scenario, I think, this is, again, to speak to how good of a deal was ultimately made and how the Rockets are now situated pretty well. We'll talk more about what the next steps need to be for KD as you're moving forward. And yes, you're right, 832. Did y'all see the video? Or sorry. Did you see the video of KD working out with Jabari? Yeah, man. Mm-hmm. Already, right? Less than 48 hours into the deal being announced or like, you know, kind of the trade being reported. They're working together. They've worked out together in the past. I think that Jabari maybe stands to be one of the people that gains the most from this. That's a conversation. That's a question that can be asked. Who on the Rockets stands to gain the most? Because I think there's a number of guys that could stand to gain from KD being here. And let's talk about it. That's what we're here for in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Before we get there, though, coming up next, let's go here. The Astros are comfortably in first place. But how comfortable are they? Are they as comfortable as it seems? Because it feels like you can argue both sides. I'm interested to see which side the OG John Lopez wants to argue. Let's have that conversation.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Next. Yep. Happy Tuesday to you. You are in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez. I'm Reginald Datula. Figgy Fig, whose name I have not said yet on the program today. And it feels weird when I do that.
Dang, Figgy.
You good in there? You all right?
Yeah, I'm good.
All right, cool.
I should be asking if you are all right.
He forgot all about
good?
You. I was thinking about you all day.
Yeah, there's no beef.
Did I tick you off?
No. I just really wanted to get after Lopez for not being here yesterday.
It's not what he told me.
What? Don't lie out here. Don't lie out here. Interestingly enough, like, Monday felt weird because there hasn't been a lot of days in the last.
You miss me.
No, not. Show was
you can say it.
Show was great.
You can say it.
I put Luke in that chair right now if I could. jokes. No, but Monday felt weird, not because of the show, but because there was no Astros baseball. It feels like we've had a lot of stretches of long games. I don't know how many times in the last like couple of months we've actually had a night off without Astros baseball, which, I mean, I enjoy watching the Astros baseball. The night off was kind of weird. I was like, what do I do with my hands? Like, where do I go? But I mean, with the Astros, they still have a pretty significant lead when it comes to the AL West. They are currently, I was about to say a wrong thing because I was looking at 4.5 games ahead of the Seattle Mariners. And they start a pretty interesting six-game homestand here tonight. Starts with the Phillies, then they'll see the Cubs over the weekend. But before we get there, like just where the Astros are, they are really well-situated, as we mentioned, in the AL West, but just in the league in general. Still the tied for the second most wins and the second best record in the AL, which is one of those things that I don't know that we foresaw at a certain point. And we were talking about this yesterday. Like, they just keep – the chasms feel like they're opening up and the things that are problematic, right? But then you keep looking at the standings and they're like, damn, they keep doing this.
Yeah.
And you had a question about the lead that the Astros have right now in baseball. How comfortable is that first place lead right now in the AL West?
Yeah, so there was a time when you had a 4.5 game lead and you're bearing down on July, and you're thinking in this division, especially, you're thinking, well, that's a wrap. Let's just see what they can add. Let's see what they can get going, and we'll see you in the postseason, right? And you asked the question a little while ago, like, what side would I be leaning toward, or is it as it's a comfortable lead? Is it as comfortable as it normally would be? And I'm not leaning either way. I think you can make a strong argument either way. Let's make those arguments and then see where you might fall.
Okay.
And maybe I'll talk myself into one or the other here. So let's say, you know, it's a comfortable lead and we're back to what the Astros do. You know, the Astros sort of gearing up, maybe even making some moves. There's some rumors percolating about the Astros, maybe making some moves. They've made a couple of peripheral moves here and there moving forward. So if you're going to say, yeah, this is the Astros, they're going to be making their moves, what would back it up? Well, they have the, as you mentioned, they have the best record, second best record in the American League, the best record in Major League Baseball in June, which I just stumbled across looking at the standings.
Will you allow me to press pause here?
Yeah.
How insane is that? Considering
it's incredible.
It felt like their May was one of those types of months that we went, wow, that was really good. Glad to get this kind of back on track after. And then here you go. Here's June showing up with a really good month.
The best record in the league in baseball right now. Getting all-star performances out of Isak and Jeremy Pena. You can argue Jake Myers. You can argue others, et cetera. Their division is still bad, although the Mariners may be making some moves. But the division in general is just seeing ghosts when it comes to the Astros. Cam Smith, oh, by the way, his last 10 games, 350 batting average and a 984 OPS.
Cam Smith. Can you say that one more time? Sorry, those numbers, sometimes numbers run right through my ears.
Last 10 games, Cam Smith, a 350 batting average and a 984 OPS.
Is that good?
That is very, very good. So you're thinking, all right, this is a comfortable lead in there. There's ramping up. By the way, they also have the second easiest schedule in all of baseball for the rest of the season. They have this, according to, I forget, you would know it.
Is it Tankathon?
No, it's the other one. It's Tankathon and another one, but the other guys.
Tankathon is the one that I remember.
The second best record in baseball. So you're thinking, all right, cool. And I'm starting to lean that way, right? But then you think, okay, why would it not be so comfortable? We still don't know a damn thing. Go ahead.
I want to use Tankathon because Tankathon says they have the easiest.
Okay, we'll go with them. Mm-hmm. Whatever. It's like whenever I go fishing, I go with the forecast that's the best weather.
That's right. It's not logical because that would not. But yeah, it's just like this is the one that makes me feel better. I would like to use this.
One forecast says it's going to be windy and nasty. The other one says kind of partly cloudy. You know what? I'm going to go with partly cloudy. So okay, we'll call it the easiest schedule in baseball the rest of the way. So what about the other side? Because here we are thinking, all right, they're good to go. Still don't know a damn thing about Yordan, McCormick, McCullers.
Well, we know Yordan's not swinging a bat yet.
Yeah, well, that's all we know, et cetera, et cetera. And you got to have those guys. I mean, you just got to have those guys to make any significant run.
You got someone back off the IL, though.
You did.
You got Taylor Trammell back on the 26-man roster.
You got Taylor Trammell, left-handed bat. So there's that.
Yeah, fourth outfielder a little bit. I think that... How much impact should we put in that? Because Taylor Trammell was doing pretty well in AAA as well.
Like 293 or something.
I mean, that's not anything to scoff at.
No, I know. I meant that in a good way.
Yeah, so.
Do
you think that that helps to a significant degree, bringing a left-handed bat, one that looks like he's going to be, that he's been productive? And does that at all change your thoughts on, I mean, the trade deadline is still a number of weeks away, but does that at all give you a bit of solace? And maybe give you some ideas on whether or not they end up actually trying to acquire a left-handed bat.
Well, it's funny you say that because one of the other reasons you might lean toward no, it's not as comfortable as it usually has been. Christian Walker continues to struggle. They need a left-handed bat. Taylor Trammell would be one.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
John Singleton?
You can't get rid of him.
John Singleton?
Big John back again.
I mean, it's a heartwarming story, and I saw his wife posted a really cool video. You know, it was really heartwarming.
Putting back on the Astros. Cool.
But that Big doesn't John make jersey. Him any better.
I'm about to say, is it heartwarming?
The video was.
For her.
Because she was excited and it's cool.
What are you doing over there right now?
No, I'm just saying, let's be for real, man.
No, you are. No,
like, is it a heartwarming story for us, him coming back?
No, I agree with you. It's a heartwarming story in terms of just like.
For her family and all that stuff.
Well, just in terms of like the feels, for lack of a better way. Like, it felt cool to see her do that. But it doesn't make him any better. It doesn't make, what he's done here, all of a sudden. He's going to flip a switch. So there's that. But there's a reason they brought John Singleton back. They're covering their bases here, so to speak, especially first base. Didn't they just sign a guy or bring a guy up last week?
Are you talking about Wes Clark?
Yeah, maybe the first baseman.
Yeah, and I don't know that Wes Clark is going to be something that that affects your major
either,
league roster by any means.
But Christian Walker is going to lose at-bats if he continues to struggle.
Which
he's going to lose some at-bats.
That might be a that's tough. That's tough. I was about to say that might be a place to watch. And of course, I'm doing the thing where we're talking trade deadline well outside of that space. We don't even know who is truly going to be sellers at this point yet. But is first base a place where you could? Nah, you can't get an acquisition there because even if you're trying to find a level of platoon, it still feels like they're going to give Christian Walker an opportunity to swing the bat.
I think that's what's going
to
happen.
I mean, he's still, even as it's been lackluster from him, this he still has production in the ways of like being top four or five when it comes to home runs on the team and things of that nature. Like he still matters in a good degree. You just have to keep. Put him out there and hope that he finds a stride.
But I think that's exactly what you said is going to happen. They're not going to move on from Christian Walker, but he's going to lose at bats to guys like Trammell, even though it's a different position, you know, in terms of the lineup and who's playing first and all that other stuff. So yeah, it doesn't exactly, you know, make you feel real good about how comfort, you know, how comfortable it is right now. And then there's this, the Mariners, speaking of rumors, they're in a lot of rumors right now at the trade deadline. They're in a lot of rumors right now for a pitcher, a bat, et cetera, et cetera. And then the final thing that sort of makes you feel like maybe they're not as comfortable as we thought, the bullpen has been outstanding. But they've thrown 39.2 innings in the last 10 days. They're starting to eat up some innings.
And that's also because you're starting pitching, especially with the guys that I'm lovingly calling the quad A guys. Again, I say that with respect to what they've been able to do. That's one of the cracks that we're starting to see. They're not giving you nearly exactly the same type of things that you were getting for a period of time, which is fair. It's understandable. It's having to ask them to carry such a heavy load is not really fair. All that to be said, I think you lay out a logical case as why you go, hey, this ain't the safest of leads, even as
so where do you fall?
The lead. I have gotten to a place where I think I'm out of the business of doubting like the mysticism that exists within the Astros' ability to find ways to win, their ways to just kind of continue to do this, their boogeyman nature or what have you. I'm willing to lean into that, even though like there's reasons to have concerns on their ability to rehabilitate injuries and things of this nature. It feels like they've just continued to be able to bridge the gap, a large gap, even as it has continued to be. And it feels like, and maybe this is just hopium, that they'll be able to bring this back around where Yordan gets back and swinging the bat at the right time in a way that that Kyle Tucker did last year, right? And you'll get enough pitching back so that you at least have three ready to go for the postseason and at least, or to even get you down the stretch and finish you out with an AL West division win. I am in a place where I am leaning into the experience and, you know, the nature of time and time again, the fact that the Astros have gotten this done. I think that they've earned, at least for me, the right for me to believe in their capability to navigate this. And I got to give also Joe Espada credit because he's navigated this pretty well himself. As well.
I'm with you. If I had to pick one or the other, I would say it's a comfortable lead for the Astros. I don't know how I would feel moving into the postseason, you know, in terms of making any noise. So that's where I would draw the line.
As currently constituted, I'd be in that same place. And of course, hope is the word that I'll use here. I hope that by that time, at least some of these question marks that have popped up have had answers to them, whether it's like, hey, have you gotten some of these pitchers back? And I just thought about the question of in 2 months, if I'm asking the question, have you gotten some of these pitchers back, would be insane.
Yeah.
Right? Is J.P. Franz back? Is Christian Javier back? Would be an insane. Is Spencer Arrighetti back? Would be an insane question to ask later on. So I imagine you'd have some of those answers. And hopefully you would definitely have an answer of, is Yordan back or is he swinging the bat well? And if those are questions that are answered, this is a dangerous Astros team, especially because you've had the likes of Jeremy Peña have his season and Jake Myers have a season. To the point where you're getting production from places that you did not previously think. Fair enough from the 6-3-1 saying that they don't feel like 4.5 games is not a comfortable lead with this Astros team. They just need Yordan back hitting like he does. I agree wholeheartedly. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Again, the Astros getting going on a 6-game homestand, starting with the Phillies tonight at Daikin Park. Coming up next, let's get into our question of the day. Inspired by a little bit of politics this morning. We're not getting political, I promise. What's the most unfortunate time you dropped a cuss word, whether in your life? In sports would be fun as well. 713-572-4610. And there's obviously Houston sports ties in. We'll do all that next. Yeah, happy Tuesday to you. Let's get into the question of the day here in the loop.
You ready, Figgy?
I'm ready.
All right, so question of the day. What's the most unfortunate time you dropped a cuss word. 713-572-4610. The President of the United States apparently dropped one of them F's this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And that got Lopez thinking about the time that you may have cussed.
Mm-hmm.
And just to make sure that we have that particular sports tied to it, Lopez, what did that remind you of?
That reminded me of a certain game day right here in Houston. We have it.
How can you pick against SMU? Look at them over there. Red, white, and blue. USA.
Live on TV.
That is Lee Corso selecting the University of Houston Cougars on College Game Day over SMU. Although, to be fair, I would pick U of H, like, regardless. Like, how many times do you think Lee Corso picks the head just based on what head it is as opposed to, like, what the actual team is?
Oh, it's all cinema. Yeah.
No, I know it is. Yeah. And I think, in theory, it's supposed to be this is the team I think will win. And I don't think the coach, like, is lying.
Mm-hmm.
But I imagine there's sometimes that I could go either way. Which head would I much rather wear, or which one do I think is better? Because the Sasha head is much better than the SMU mascot head.
Oh, yeah.
Without question.
And how about his last one upcoming? You know, they're both good. You know, got the big Longhorn and the Buckeye.
Bevo head and then Bucky the Buckeye head.
Yeah, so that's going to be an interesting call.
He's picked both of those a number of times. I actually don't know, like, if he was just picking on the mascot head, which one of those he would pick between.
I thought he was kind of leaning in wherever he was at. So kind of feeding into the crowd
always,
a little bit, too.
Probably largely.
That's a good call.
Yeah, probably largely. So the worst time, most unfortunate time, that you cussed.
You got a lot of life, so I feel like you got opportunities
it was
here.
Funny. I've got so many where I was like, yeah, I probably shouldn't have said that. But the most recent one was this past Saturday morning.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's where this came from. See, he was trying to blame this on the president. He was trying to put this on Lee Corso. No, you just did it this
weekend. It reminded me because this past Saturday morning, let me just put it this way. So I was speaking at the Episcopal Church men's breakfast.
Oh church. Church. Yeah.
And, you know, you get comfortable chatting it up with the fellas there. And
you be getting comfortable at church like that?
Yeah, well, it was a nice little breakfast.
With Jesus watching and everything?
Everything, yeah. Jesus was right there. And somebody asked me, God, what was the question? And I can't remember the exact question, but I said, that bleeping guy.
Oh, man.
right there in the Episcopal Church, right in front of everybody. So that was the most recent ones, but there's a.
Did you get a bunch of...
Okay, it's funny because I did immediately caught myself.
Yeah.
So I did a quick scan of the room. Most of them were pretty cool, but there were a couple of guys that were going like kind of backing up with their eyes open.
That's
like,
right.
You just said that here in church?
That is the correct response, by the way. There's a number of answers on the text line that are church related from the 504. They were at a church fantasy football draft. Someone just drafted JT, and I said that JT was going to get his keister kicked by the Texans. Felt so embarrassed. I will say, this didn't really rise to the level, but the weekly run, basketball run that I play in nowadays here, back being in Houston.
It's a church league.
It's not a church league, but we do play at a gym in a church.
Okay.
And so sometimes you get to plan and, you know, do stuff. And oftentimes we play in the evening when no one else is in the church, or maybe like some people are cleaning or what have you. But... you know, when I get frustrated with myself, sometimes I'll let off a really loud expletive.
Yeah.
And there was one time I did that where I was like, oh, yeah, you know, that probably echoes. There might be some other people in here hearing just a loud cuss word in church. I should probably not do that.
No, I did that. Mine was kind of church related, too. I wasn't in the church, but I was walking to the church. I was about to go in. Mm-hmm. I was in the parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized I left something in the car. I'm like, oh, bleep. Just turned around. I'm like, oh.
Was it an old church lady right there looking at you?
No, it was not. It was not. But I kind of felt bad. And this is weird, but I try not to cuss on the way to church.
Yeah.
I put on some gospel music, try not to cuss and
mood.
All that. But sometimes it just be a small little, ah, damn it. I'll be like, oops, sorry, guys.
How about this one?
My bad, big dog.
This one left a mark on the text line. My first communion.
Oh, no.
My first communion. I ate the body of Christ and I said, bleep that.
How old? Like that's
six, right?
Yeah, I was like, okay.
Yeah, six.
Which at that point, I feel like at a certain point, if you cussing, it's not your fault, right? Like if you cussing at six, I imagine that in the church, nobody went, oh, look at that bad kid. They all looked at your parents like, what are y'all doing at the house?
Yeah.
Like that was more about the parents than it was about you, right? But speaking of parents from the 281, they said the first time in front of your parents, which go ahead and give me the story, big dog. But also that made me think about the fact that myself and my mom, and my mom is really religious, right? Like in church and everything. I've always enjoyed like having more of an adult relationship with her as well. Like, you know, I realized at some point that we had gotten there, but I was very much, I don't cuss in front of my mom. Like it just does not happen that way. Except, you know, I got to a point where, you know, sometimes you'll talk about something and maybe you'll say like bull or, you know, BS or whatever. I remember the first time I actually said BS, but not the.
Yeah.
And I remember in the moment being like, oh.
Yeah.
Like, all right, let's see how this goes over. And she didn't really flinch. But then what I realized is that soon thereafter, we let in like the minor cuss words into the relationship. We broke the seal.
We broke on a different level.
Nothing crazy.
The craziest thing is when it goes backwards. Like my mom, very like yours, she went to church twice a week, did the rosary. I mean, just really, really religious. When you hear her cuss, when it got so bad, I probably heard her cuss 3 times her entire life. Mm. And every time I was like, it must be bad. It must be bad if mom did it, if mom said that. What about like what the boys were talking about this morning? What's on the back of your baseball card of like the ones you go to the most? Like you guys know this because we're off there. I say bleep sucker.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Like pretty much 50 times a day at minimum. And I also say bleep me a lot. What's on the back of your baseball card?
I mean, S word is probably the one that I use the most.
I usually say the S word, like the dude from The Wire. That's kind of
Isaiah Washington. Isaiah Whitlock.
I usually say it like that.
Somebody said a guy at work says F nugget. Okay, very good. Yeah. Those are the creative words. Somebody said their old girlfriend would call someone a butt. C word, which I don't even know what that means, to be completely honest.
Interesting combination.
So those are interesting combinations. Yeah. But yeah, some other fun, inopportune times to cuss.
Like home health, leaving a patient's home, got the finger caught in the door, and the Ring doorbell caught her saying the F word loud and clear of her patient. I'm sure they were looking at her differently after that.
This is a good one from the 713. Said their mother loves to tell the story when they were 2.5 years old during a family reunion. All the men were outside barbecuing. All the women were in the kitchen, and this was during the time where all the women were wearing skirts. There was a jar of pickles in the middle of the table, kept tugging at their mom's skirt, saying, Mama want a pickle. Evidently, no one was listening. So mom says that he slams his fist down on the table and said, Mom, I want a bleeping pickle.
That got everybody's attention.
Yeah. Everybody.
Like, get that boy a pickle.
Yeah. Well, I imagine that first everybody had to retire to their fainting chairs. Yeah. Right? But as a kid, I understand how you got there. You were like, I've seen other people, and this is how they get attention. We put this word up here.
Oh, you got the attention, all right.
And you were talking about how it's a reflection of the parents. Clear as day, my oldest son, who's now going to be 37, he was probably, I think it was a 3 or 4 year old birthday party, and the kids were over at the house. I might have told this story, and they're playing Duck, Duck, Goose. So he's tapping the kids on the head. But he's not saying duck.
Of course he's not.
He's not saying. Never. Of course he's all not. All the parents just look immediately at me. I'm like, hey, I don't know where he got that.
Let's see. Some other ones are coming in now, various different places. Someone said they say San Antonio, Texas instead of SOB. How does that work? I need more.
They made up their own.
Yeah. From the 281, I was giving a eulogy of one of my best friends and was telling a story of how we met. And it included a couple of F-bombs. When I was done, the priest told me I could have left them out. Yeah, we got to know the circumstance. We definitely got to know the circumstance there. Yeah. On a work conference call, got assigned a crappy assignment, forgot I wasn't on mute. Bleep this ish. Okay, very good. Yeah, that'll let you know.
And then somebody said, you're not on mute.
That's right.
That's a terrifying thing.
That's terrible, man. My wife actually had a moment. I want to say it was yesterday. Mm-hmm. She had a meeting with a top tier type of boss. And they asked her about the place she was going to. Where was it at? She said, bleeping spring. And she didn't realize. She was just like, oh, this is the person. This is the person that's above my current boss. And she felt bad for it. She came on. She said she felt bad for it.
I think we navigated that all right. If there's kids in the car, whatever we said, don't say any of those things. These are clearly bad things. You don't want to do any of them. Listen to your parents, except unless if they curse. Which is, that's another thing. Lopez, before the segment started, I was like, there's going to be kids in the car. And you were like, their parents curse. And I was like, do they?
Yes.
But if you're a sports fan.
Yes, they do.
Right? If you're a sports fan, there's got to be more opportunity that you're cussing in front of, maybe not even in front of the kids, but cussing in a place where maybe the kids might hear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, Isaiah Carey. Shout out to the legend, Fox 26.
Oh, yeah.
For one of the best viral
what
videos.
What the bleep is this?
The best part about that is not the fact that he started cussing. Is that he dropped the TV voice very quickly. He was just, that was Zeke. I don't know if he go by Zeke, but he became Zeke in that moment. He wasn't Isaiah no more.
What the bleep is this? Stuff flying all in my mouth. Let's get the bleep out of here. This country mother bleeper.
All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's go around the NFL where it looks like there's a little bit of things happening here where in the NFL where an owner in the NFL is looking to buy a English Premier League team. I want to talk about that. And also, a competitor in the AFC South said that he's actually good for the season. We'll talk about that and more next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.